Recording on Thursday morning, Jordan Bernfield is not here. Beto, you want to speculate on where Bernfield is?
I'm assuming he was out on an all-night bender. I'll just say that. Either that or he's just still just pondering how the Cubs were able to have some good luck. Well, bad luck for Jacob DeGrom, get him out after three innings, but then not be able to do anything with it. So I'm not sure. One of those two things. Probably nothing to do with his, like, infant child, you know?
Yeah, see, I put it all on Matilda, and clearly Matilda is not coming correct here on this Thursday morning, and it's rude to blame a two-month-old or whatever Matilda is at this
point. It's rude of Matilda, I think.
Correct. Your dad has a podcast to do that gets at least 322 clicks per week, and depending on how much I embed it in articles, and we have our diehards, and we love you. We really, really love you. And of course, this podcast is going to the moon. But Bernfield, you know, Dad Bernfield was just disrespected. I mean, straight on by Matilda. And for that matter, where's Deanna in this mix? Mama Bernfield, she's got to know that this is the most important thing in Jordan's life.
I don't understand the ladder of priorities that the Bernfield family has. I just don't get it. He texted us just now, by the way, and said, be on in a second.
Right, right.
Not pal. In the, not in the pal. But
be on in a second, 6 minutes late is pathetic.
Yeah.
That's like Carmen 96. You're going nowhere. That's not going to work for this podcast. No,
this is like last podcast, Carmen blatant lie saying that he left tickets at will call and he didn't leave tickets at will call. This is just like that.
I conveniently forgot to tell David Kaplan about that podcast. I'm just gonna let that one just die out in the podcast ether, if you will. We are in a tad bit of a crisis here, Beto. You sweep the Cardinals, and then you're on the verge of getting swept in four by the Mets. Lost the first three, can't hit anymore. Everyone's screaming, where the hell's Matt Duffy? Where the hell's Nico Horner? I'm one of those people, by the way. Where the hell's Matt Duffy? Where the hell's Nico Horner? That's not exactly where you want to be in life, but that's where we're at.
Yeah, I mean, you could see it coming just based on the fact they weren't hitting, to your point. So Bryant's been struggling a little bit, which was going to happen. They've been banged up, and they don't have the depth some of the other teams do. They've been able to win some games.
Can you guys hear me?
We can.
Beto's in the middle of a big thought on the Cubs collapse, and we've been speculating on to why you're late. So just hang out, and we're going to get the full details. Did you finish your thought, Beto?
Pretty much. I mean, I'm not totally surprised. They were going to go through this stretch. They were going against good pitching. It's not going to be easy for the next couple of weeks either, but they don't have a ton of depth. They got to get healthy. Bats got to get going. But more importantly, I want to figure out what's the deal here.
Yeah. Beto, Bernfield just showed up 7 minutes late to the podcast. This is somebody who went to Syracuse, was the assistant program director at WAER, currently is one of the prime guys that you'll see on ESPN, NBC Sports Chicago, whatever other networks that Jordan Bernfield pops up on. But for some reason, he's late to his most important job, which is this podcast. Jordan, I speculate
that includes being a dad, right? That yes. Job list includes being a dad.
I speculated
yes, that was spoken by a man who's not a dad by putting all of those things ahead of being a dad.
Bernfield also, by the way, not on his microphone today. The sound is not going to be as crisp, which should really bother Jordan Bernfield because he loves good sound. Beto and Carmen sound great. Bernfield does not. But here's the thing. I put this on Matilda. Clearly, this is Matilda's fault. She wasn't acting correct today. She didn't have her priorities straight. I also blamed your wife. I'm assuming I'm correct.
Well, I would not put it on Deanna this morning because she had already left for the office. But I would say that, you know, I had to make sure that Matilda and the nanny were all situated correctly. And then that was keeping me a few minutes behind. So my sincere apologies. But as Beto can attest, because he has been doing this, obviously, for years more than I have. And I am now learning as a new father, whenever you have something scheduled, it really does not matter. What matters is whether your child is completely accounted for, then you become available for things. So now I am on my way to a volunteering event for work, which I know, Carmen, you will be at later today, but I'm doing the morning session. So I will sadly miss you, but that is why I'm 7 minutes late. And my my apology is sincere.
You know what I got out of that, Beto? And this is somebody, by the way, who's kicked the parenting ball down the line. Maybe I'll be a first-time dad at 63, I don't know, Charlie Chaplin or something. But I'm hearing neurotic father. I'm hearing a guy who just couldn't relax into the nanny being there, had to make sure that the doll was in the right spot, needed to make sure the bottle was properly situated in the fridge. I got neurotic dad out of that one. I don't know what you got.
I'm thinking about the situation where you got to make sure the kid is accounted for. I think in most situations, yes. But are you telling me that if we have like a bases loaded ninth inning situation, one run game,
such a
Matilda feces everywhere, you changing her out of the diaper immediately with the Cubs having a chance to walk off? No, the feces stay in the diaper for a little bit longer until somebody breaks it open, the Cubs walk off, then she could get changed.
Great point.
You know, you know what I will say is that at 11 weeks now, she, like, if sometimes when we're on, and I'm sure, Beto, you've had many experiences like this, she'll be, like, on her playmat, which is underneath where our TV is, and she'll, like, look up at the TV, and she's mesmerized, right? Because, like, kids are so interested in a TV. And so I like to think in my mind that she's mesmerized because the Cubs game is on, not just because there are these amazing moving pictures in front of her that she wants to figure out what they are. So I keep thinking, like, oh, you're mesmerized by the Cubs game. And so, like, last night, Deanna was playing with Matilda, and I had the game on in the background, and Matilda's looking up at the TV, and Deanna's like, oh, wow, Matilda, you're so interested in the Cubs game. And I was like, I don't know. She must be a Mets fan because this game is not going very well for the Cubs.
Let me ask you a question. This is mostly in all seriousness. Who would you rather have up at the plate, Matilda or Jason Hayward?
I think I'm going Matilda.
Yeah, the strike zone's really low. It's very small, right. So you figured that she'd find a way to coax a walk here and there.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, I would imagine her on-base percentage would be incredibly high.
I mean, Hayward has walked 5 times this month. He's hitting .077 for the month. He's got 2 hits and 26 plate appearances. Now, I know that Matilda can't get a hit, but if she could just hang out in the batter's box, I think she might get on. What is he? So he's had 5 walks. That means he's had 31 plate appearances. I give Matilda half a chance of being on 8 times to Hayward's 7, honestly.
I agree. She grips things really well now. I think she could at least hold a small bat with one hand, and that's better than Hayward. So I'm going Matilda. Definitely going Matilda on that one.
Hey, David Ross, stop playing Jason Hayward. What do you think? Anybody?
So you know me, I've always been a Jason Hayward guy, and I think he's had a couple of good years, not worth the money, but I think he's been better the last couple of years. But that being said, right now, I feel like they almost have to play him because they're so banged up. But when everyone's healthy, you can't look at the contract and his past work and can't say, oh, at least like defensively, he's going to give you a huge boost because he's lost a step out there, right? So if he's not defending at an elite level, and he's doing what he was doing hitting wise in 2016, 2017, you can't run him out there. He can never play against lefties. And then even against righties, I think until Patrick Wisdom comes down to Yermín Mercedes level earth, he's got to be in the lineup and Chris Bryant's got to be in right field, or somebody's got to be in right field, not Hayward.
I don't want to pick on Jason Hayward because it's been one of my tried and true since he signed here.
That's a lie. You want to pick on Jason Hayward.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes,
you're right.
You that is one of your pastimes. You enjoy picking on Jason Hayward. But I will say, I didn't want to make this too negative, guys, but like I was thinking about this last night because these are the insane thoughts that run through my head in the middle of the evening. I can't think that there is a worse contract in Cubs history than this one, right? I mean, if we're looking at it objectively, the peak of Jason Hayward has been meager at best. And you look at Soriano's deal, which I hated the second they signed it in 2007, at least at the beginning of Soriano's contract, as bad as that contract was, he put up numbers that were requisite with his career. But Jason Hayward has never put up numbers that the Cubs, I mean, even not, let's forget what they thought he was going to be, because they were obviously wrong about that. But he has never had a season as a Cub that even matched like what he did with the Cardinals.
How many times have you sat up at night like I did last night, Jordan? And I'm laying on the couch after his one at bat last night where he looked absolutely positively horrendous. I'm like, oh my God, this is so bad. And so I'm sitting there going 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, 21.
So two more.
It's two more years.
Right. But you know,
it'll never end.
And I think as last bad night, as I that is, though.
Yeah.
As bad as that is. And I agree, it's bad. Like, at this point, you've paid almost all of it out. So the way I look at it is, and I don't know if you guys agree, but at this point, it's a sunk cost. Like what Beto was saying before, you at this point, you've paid what he signed for 184. So you've paid, 130 of it already? So, like, it is what it is. If you don't play him again, you don't play him again. If you cut him, you cut. I mean, like, I'm not saying they're going to cut him, but my point is, the best days are behind him. It hasn't worked out. You're on the hook for the money anyway. No one's going to take him. So it's just, I think that at this point, you just have to forget what he's owed.
The luckiest part of this whole thing is that we had a pandemic season where you only had to pay him for 50 games. That was a miracle.
But that was his best season, though. He hit well last year.
He actually
year.
Was pretty
that
good
That was probably
last
his
year.
Best year. Yeah. And 2019, he was solid before they put him in the leadoff spot, too. But I've always been like, you can play him, but he's got to be that gold glove elite right fielder. And he's good, but that's starting. He's past his prime defensively. So if there's better players, you can't look at the contract and say, well, we got to run him out there every day against righties. But I don't know, as far as the contract is concerned, Hayward's Soriano was a better player. But Soriano's contract always makes me laugh because the Cubs outbid themselves for him. And then secondly, I think of like way less money, but maybe a worse deal just in the retrospect because of how bad it turned out. But that Milton Bradley, he only was a 3-year deal. That one stands out to me because that dude was something else.
I
can I give you a quick Milton Bradley story, by the way?
I love all Milton Bradley stories.
One of the first games that I ever covered as a professional.
Oh, he screamed at you.
He didn't scream at me per se, but like, so, you know, Dave Ennett sends me out to a game and I'm putting professional in big air quotes because I'm like this kid that has no clue what I'm doing, right? But sends me out to the game with the credentials. So I go out there and I'm, you know, as Carmen would mock, I'm WAER. I've got my notepad. I've got my recorder. I've got everything. I'm ready to go. And like, I'm in there after the game and Bradley had one of his, you know, signature meltdowns. I don't even remember the specifics of what happened during the game. I remember I was shaking, walking back upstairs to the press box because like I had asked a question. I don't even remember what the question was, to be honest, but he gave a terse answer like he gave to everybody else. He's screaming at all of us. And I'm like, oh my God, he did not like my question. I'm never going to be sent to a game again. This is over. I had full on Burnfield meltdown and I'm like 23 years old. And I'm like, this is it. Like, I'm never going to get sent to a game. I got to go to a game. Milton Bradley yelled at me. It's over. And then I realized he just does this to everybody. And the next day he had another meltdown. And I think then Hendry gave him one of those, like, Milton, you're going to sit out with a mysterious injury for 10 days because you need to cool off kind of things.
There's so many layers to that story. It's just absolutely incredible. Number one, the fact that you probably actually did a great job. So you should have been celebrating the fact that he yelled at you. Number two, the whole notebook thing. Thank you for bringing that in because that's just amazing. I could see a young Burnfield in there. He's all hungry. He's got his notebook.
I thought I was like Ed Murrow in there. It's easy. You don't need your notebook. Yeah.
You were like, screw you, Paul Sullivan, Mark Gonzalez, whoever the hell was covering the Cubs for the Sun Times at that point, Mike Kiley, I don't know, Gordon, I'm getting the scoop. Burnfield's here to save the day. I'm going to ask Milton the question, and Milton's going to – I love every bit of that. And my story around Milton that I got to do a couple White Sox pre and post over at NBC Sports Chicago. Thank you for having me, NBC Sports Chicago. It's been fun. Hope to do it again. And they, you know, Ozzie's telling a story where the Sox are playing the Cubs and everyone's drilling Lou Piniella on Milton Bradley. And Pinella calls up Ozzy and it's like, look, can you just say some crazy shit today? Because I got to get the media away from me. I can't talk about Milton Bradley anymore. So will you please say something? And Ozzy loves Lou. So he did whatever the fuck, whatever he said, which I thought that was amazing. Will you say something? I can't talk about Milton Bradley anymore. I cannot take one more question from Burnfield on Bradley.
I need Milton Bradley as a marquee analyst. That's what I need right now. They call up marquee three-man booth to Boog, JD, MB. Right in there, breaking down Cubs games. I did not know that this the direction we were going to go today, but I am here for it.
You know what? I do hate the Mount Rushmore sports arguments, but Milton Bradley definitely is in the bottom, is on the Mount Rushmore of bad Cubs contracts, and Jason Hayward is on there too. Hopefully 6 feet from Milton Bradley, because, I mean, it's just – it's not a good contract. And Beto and I mean, Beto, you would agree. Like, you and I have defended Jason Hayward's abilities for most of this contract. And I'm not saying that he doesn't have value, because I believe that I understood the idea of signing him. I understood why, you know, what they were projecting and what they were looking for. It made sense at the time. It has not worked out in any way, shape, or form. The guy is a great defender. He is a good, you know, base runner. And he made a $184 million speech that helped them win the World Series. But otherwise, he has sucked. Objectively sucked. And you can't put it any other way.
All the signs on Jason Hayward were there before they signed him. He had an unbelievable rookie year. Then they figured him out. He hits .227. He was up and down. He never came anywhere close to .300. His best OBP before coming to the Cubs was .359.
When he was a free agent, because he came up so young, to your point, they were trying, like, oh, this guy's going to get better. And he had shown that in 2015. And the Cubs were not alone in that bid. They apparently, reportedly, took less money to join the Cubs over the Nationals.
Right.
And the Cardinals. So they weren't alone. So I get it hasn't necessarily worked out, but it wasn't like they were doing the Soriano bid against ourselves, paying for past performance.
When he signed, the first guy I talked to was like, bad swing, so many moving parts, never going to be consistent. Said it like instant. I'm like, this guy sucks. When he was up for the Braves and or the Cardinals, I never feared him. Never. Like, oh no, it's Hayward. Like,
but he did homer off of Arrieta in the playoffs at 15.
Yeah, that was a bomb to left center.
It was a bomb. Listen, it wasn't good. And what also infuriates me when it comes to Hayward is that two nights ago when Willie Harris, set the runner home and got thrown out at the plate, he should have known that Jason Hayward guaranteed was going to ground out to second to drop.
Stopper to second.
Even the run. The next batter. Because 96% of Jason Hayward at bats are topped ground outs to second. So you have to anticipate that was going to be what was going to happen.
That's another one. Hey, David Ross, just tell him to bunt down the third baseline and we'll take what happens. I'd rather watch that. All right. Hey, I want to get to Rizzo and his, and it feels like old news now, but Riz coming out along with Jason Hayward, by the way, who have not gotten the vaccine. Hayward's comment, like, well, they're all, the rest of them are vaccinated, so I don't have to be. That was pretty terrible. But here's team leader Rizzo. And there was like 3% of me that was just thinking, boo him today. Like, when he comes to the plate, and Jordan, you were there. Was there one boo for Anthony Rizzo when he came to the plate last Friday against the Cardinals after admitting on the David Kaplan show, Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000, that he just needs more research?
I mean, if there was, I didn't hear it. I think I would say that the reaction in his first at bat was probably more muted than normal, but even that I would say might be a stretch. But then when he had that at bat of the year, you know, he gets a curtain call. He's showered with love. And so, you know, 114 pitch at bat that results in a home run, which, not to make light of it, I mean, that was an incredible at bat, seemed to absolve him of his skewed scientific beliefs. I guess my whole thing with the two of them, with Hayward and Rizzo, is that neither one of them made a logical explanation as to why they're not getting vaccinated.
Because there isn't one.
Right. So the pretzel logic that is required of these people that don't want to take the solution. And again, like, you know, we've talked about this before. And obviously there's really no reason not to get vaccinated on a human level. But if we just take the, you know, you're protecting yourself and others equation out, not to sound like the biggest cynic in the world, and then we just look at it from a baseball standpoint, he continues to put the Cubs at a competitive disadvantage. And again, now I'm just waiting for it where, you know, now it seems we know that it's Arrieta and Sogard and Hayward and Rizzo and most of these guys, for the most part, have admitted publicly that they're not getting vaccinated. Well, one of them is going to get it, right?
100%.
When they get it, they're all going to be out, and this season is going to end up screwing the Cubs more, because it's one thing if they end up winning the division and they do something, because then you can justify it. But if they end up blowing the playoffs and then not getting anything for these free agents because they underachieved due to a reason that could have been completely avoidable, that's going to be hard to swallow. And listen, there's been rumor about why Rizzo's not going to get it. He hasn't said anything publicly yet, and maybe he decides to get it next year. But, like, it's hard for me to understand how you can label this guy as a leader of the team and the face of your franchise and all this stuff, and then have him come out and say that he's not getting it and have bunk reasons for why he's not getting it. It's hard to understand that.
All I care about is when he hit the bomb, how high did you jump and going nuts? Or were you in integrity with his non-vaccinated ass?
I would say I was not jumping. I was pleased at the result. But honestly,
you high-fived everyone in section 124. I know honestly, you did.
I went to a different scenario. Yeah. This is a different scenario because it was involving the game and not like being like a decent human. But I went to the game the day after Sammy Sosa had corked his bat and he had appealed the suspension. So he was playing. So he comes up and he gets a standing ovation. The dude just cheated in the most obvious way possible in the game. He comes up next day, standing O against the Tampa Bay Devil Rays at the time.
That's amazing.
Is that a Wade Boggs Tampa Bay Devil Rays team?
It might have been a Wade Boggs Tampa Bay Devil Rays team. I'm not entirely sure.
My favorite standing ovation in Cubs history, which was so vintage Cub, and it wasn't a standing ovation, but it was a nice smattering of applause, as perhaps Pat Hughes would say, when Alex Gonzalez came back to the Cubs with the Toronto Blue Jays, I think it was. I think that's the team he was on. Now batting Alex Gonzalez, and the crowd cheers his ass. Because he's a former Cub, like you idiots. That's the dude that cost you the World Series. You want to crucify Bartman? He's the asshole who dropped the ground ball. You're gonna cheer him? Like, at least that's a bad look. At least go silent. I would have thrown things at him. I would have been okay with it. And that you guys are cheering him.
Yeah, isn't that good? It wasn't like he was so great and then all of a sudden made an error. He wasn't that. He was very mediocre. He was average.
And he was an okay player. I will say,
he was
like
me in high school. Great. In all honesty,
I don't know if you guys feel this way, but like I've always appreciated Anthony Rizzo for, you know, what he represents to the Cubs and, you know, all the work he does with Lurie Children's Hospital and all this stuff. But like, that was a tough one to take. I have to say, the last few days, it has been hard because I know that in sports, we latch onto these people and they're just like everybody else. They have the same flaws as everybody else. And you can't get too wrapped up in them. And I know, logically, I know that guys will disappoint you, but especially for a guy, like he's had significant health issues. He works with kids who can't get vaccinated right now. And I just, what doctor is telling him not to get vaccinated?
That's what I would say. Like, consultation with the doctors. I was like, is it a witch doctor from Texas? Like, who?
Dr. Oz? Like, who is he talking to? Like, it's deeply disappointing. I mean, it's not for Hayward.
Hayward's explanation was worse. I felt like
his explanation was considerably worse and honestly made me angry to read those comments. And, you know, but Rizzo, it was just like, man, that was a dagger.
Between Rizzo and Bryant, Chris Bryant is a freaking saint. Like that guy is just a straight up good dude. all day long. Rizzo, as you underline, Jordan, he does a ton of good and all that. However, at least at times, I think Rizzo is a little bit too much in love with Rizzo, a little more selfish. By the way, this was Jason Hayward's comment, just in case people missed it, because you guys have brought it up. The last time I got the flu shot, I got H1N1 and the regular flu shot. I was out of it for 3 days, and I was younger, Hayward told reporters. And so for me, my reasoning for not getting the flu shot every year is it's offered to us at the same time every year, September, right before October. I've been playing on a lot of teams that have a chance of getting to the postseason. The last thing I want to do is feel like shit in September by choice. All right, if I get the flu, I'm pretty sure I know how to fight it. And then he continues on. They're worried about us. They need to worry about people coming to the games. If shit breaks out and there's a rise in infections, it ain't going to be because of something we did. We ain't allowed to go around fans. Could be something that happens because of people here not wearing masks when they're told to please wear your mask. So it's like he understands the danger, but he's not putting it on himself.
Right. He's deferring to other people.
Yeah. Right. It's like, well, I know you are, but what am I? No, it's like you can't I'm not saying that there's zero validity to what he's saying in terms of other fans. And I realize that there is an inherent risk in the fact that, you know, not everyone is vaccinated and people are allowed not to wear a mask at the park. I mean, it does say in the Cubs guidelines that if you're unvaccinated, you have to wear a mask. But we all know that those people are not wearing masks. So I get that point, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't get it. It also doesn't mean
you're on a platform, man. You're an athlete.
It's a very easy solution. Hey, Jason, it's David Ross. I don't know if you're aware of this, but you suck right now. And I read your comments and you're worried about feeling like shit. Well, people do feel like shit from getting the vaccine. So you won't be playing for this week. We're going to let you think about everything and then you're going to come back and you're going to be vaccinated. It's going to be sweet. That's what I would go with. But either, by the way, you don't have to get it. But by the way, you're not playing for the next 4 days unless I absolutely.
Right, but see, they can't do that.
We're playing four straight lefties, so we'll schedule it when we're playing like two consecutive lefties after that anyway. That you won't hit. There we go.
Yeah. Right. I have to say though, the guys that are unvaccinated, I mean, have not produced. I mean, Arrieta has been bad.
Rizzo's been pretty good.
He's been okay recently. I mean, he's starting to hit recently, but I would say Rizzo this season has been, you know, low slug, okay, you're not great. I honestly think, like, if Sogard has done nothing. I mean, the guys that have not been vaccinated are really not helping the team.
The one thing Sogard does is he rips that double into the right center field gap, and then Willie Harris sends home Jake Mrazek, and he's thrown out by 25 feet. So it's like, even when he does something good, it doesn't turn into anything good. Drives me nuts.
Yeah. They have not been a very likable team this year. They're just not. I mean, compared to the team on the south side, it's not even – it's so starkly different.
This is something that I shouldn't ask, but the new Cubs public address announcer, which is an incredible story, he's 21 years old. Jeremiah, do you know his last name offhand?
Paparocki.
Okay. And who was the Cubs PA guy before Paparocki, who left to be
Andy Bellison.
Andy Bellison. Have you listened to Paparocki and Bellison in the same room?
They sound very similar.
How is it possible that these two sound exactly alike? I think
that's what won the day. They found a guy that sounds exactly like the old guy, and they were like, all right, we got a winner.
They do.
It's from an outsider's perspective, like listening to the game, I was thinking the exact same thing. I was like, I thought the Cubs got a new person from last year. I'm like, I know the story, but it sounds like the same dude.
Literally.
If we went all-time rankings, though, when the Cubs had Paul Friedman, no one said Jose Hernandez better than Paul Friedman. That was incredible.
What happened to Paul Friedman?
I don't know.
Why do people not want this gig for life? I'll just tell you this much. If I had been, what was his first name? Dave Abelson? Andy Bellison. Dave Abelson, I went to University of Iowa with. If I had been Andy Bellison.
Hey, Dave.
Dave, you're the man. Living in New York now. Good man, decent. Love drugs. So did I back in the day. You're leaving the Cubs. You're not negotiating. At least let me do half the games. Where's the negotiation? How about weekends? I'm not giving up.
Maybe he got too excited announcing a visiting player's name, like a la Ray Clay, in the early 2000s. Our guy Ray Clay with the Bulls when Michael came back.
That was so unbelievably petty. I want to introduce Michael like I always introduce Michael. You're fired. What?
The greatest athlete ever coming back home, and I want to give him a nice ovation. No, our 20-win basketball team needs to get psyched up for Ron Mercer, not Michael Jordan.
Harry Carey and Steve Stone. We go in the bottom of the second with Steve Buchel leading it off.
Steve Buchel has a very sore left elbow. Oral Hershiser hit him in the elbow, and unfortunately for Steve, it got a lot more of the bone than it did the meat.
This program was recorded on tape for a live audience.
There's a drive by Buchel way back in the left center, way back near the fence, gonna be caught, and it is. Scott Bullitt ran over to near the ivy, past the 368-foot mark. And they honored Rick Wilkins. He is now called what, Sir Wilkin?
Sir Rick.
Sir Rick. Wilkins hitting 295, one home run behind Sammy Sosa. Wilkins had 2 out of 4 yesterday. No, I take that back. 1 out of 4. Line drive, base hit, right field. The game is tied. Here's Derek May racing for third. So Buchel drives in his 36th run of the year.
Kosuke hits a high fly ball. Deep right center. Back toward the wall is Gwynn. That ball is gone.
Yes!
Game tied 3-3.
Yes, sir!